Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Hatera-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the executive secretary. I'd like to begin with some background information on the variance hearing process. For the presentations, the order presentation, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. During this time, the applicant, when they approach to present their case, should also provide their declaration of posting if they have not already done so. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or the members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing, take that matter under advisement, make a decision today, or may continue it to a future hearing date. There are no items on the consent calendar today. We have a general public hearing, general public comment at the end of the hearing. No criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C. It sets forth that in order to justify granting a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional, extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional, extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months for a decision letter to be issued after the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to have a copy of that decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets against the far wall. That's very important because it is the decision letter which carries with it the appeal period, and the decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of that letter. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss issues related to these cases, we would request that that be done outside of the hearing room so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for the end of April, on April 27th of 2016. Audio recordings of these variance hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And now we can move on to the calendar.
There are no items in our consent calendar. So moving to our regular calendar items. Case number 1, 2015-006866-VAR, 123 Carl Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Can
I
use the overhead?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is it okay?
Hello, my name is Marissa Brandon. I'm the architect for the owner of 133 Carl Street. It's a 2-unit building on a corner lot at the corner of Clayton and Carl, and shown here on the site plan. The owner is seeking a variance to add a 5-foot by 9-foot small balcony off the kitchen, which is shown here in the west direction. Let me just explain for a second here. This is the 2-unit building, and also associated with this lot is a detached 1-story garage. So this balcony would be over the garage, not projecting over the garage, but up to it. In addition, there's an existing roof deck on the building, which has a low parapet wall, and we're seeking a variance to raise the height of a glass windscreen. The variance is required because we're within 5 feet within the rear yard, even though it's up on the roof. We're seeking a 6-foot-high windscreen in order to protect from the elements, and I'll show some pictures as well. So really the variance covers this kitchen balcony, 5 feet by 9 feet out to the west, and also the raising the height of the glass windscreen from 42 inches to 6 feet on the roof. Here's a photo. Here, this is the corner lot. This is the existing roof deck up here. The glass up to 6 feet high would really just infill here where you see these clear areas in this sort of trellis arbor effect. So right now, 42 inches is at about this lower height here, and we're seeking the variance to raise the height of it because it's quite exposed and very windy in this location. The kitchen balcony comes off of these two windows here, which are off the side, minimally visible from the street, and it looks out over the garage, which is part of the owner's property as well. Just a couple items related to the findings and how we meet the 5 criteria. Since it's a corner lot and they have this detached garage in what would essentially be the rear yard, there's no actual exterior space to the property for the owner's use. Currently, there's the roof deck, but it's got this low parapet, and they have 2 young children, and they're concerned about anybody being up there, given that it's about 40 feet up in the air. And so really we're seeking this to raise the height and give more protection up at the roof deck area, since that's really the only exterior space that the property has. Just reading through my other notes here. We think it's in keeping with the neighborhood. There's no adverse effect on any of the neighbors. We've not had any neighbor questions or issues related to our request for the variance. I think that's it.
Thank you. Yes, and I would note the Section 311 notice that expired last week. No discretionary reviews were filed. You noted that the cantilevered balcony that is proposed is off of the kitchen, kind of the main living level, and you have the existing deck above that you're seeking to make more kind of usable because of the elements. What is at the upper level? Are those bedrooms at the level where you have the existing deck?
There's a communal staircase. So it's a 2-unit building. As I mentioned, the owner lives in the top unit, and the lower unit is rented out. And it's a communal back staircase that goes all the way up to the roof right now. Okay. So it would be it's more meant for the enjoyment of the occupants of the building. In other words, it's not specifically just for the owner's unit or anything like that. It's meant to be shared and accessible to all the building occupants.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 1 for 1-3 Carl Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Okay, moving to item number 2, case number 2015-012126 VAR, 444 30th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Ross Leaney, the architect. This is a simple request to replace rear stairs and landings with a deck. The stair and landing is not required for egress for a 2-story structure over a basement, so it's not necessary for life safety, and the owners would prefer to have a deck. I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 2 for 444 30th Street. Seeing no public comment, would close the public hearing and maybe have the architect confirm that no firewall will be required as part of the project.
That is correct. There is no firewall required for the setbacks off of the side property lines.
And then the deck is providing the usable open space from the main living level of the unit.
Also correct.
All right, thank you. So seeing that public hearing is closed, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 3, case number 2015-010646 VAR, 3079 California Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is David Armour. I'm the architect for this project at 3079 California Street. We're seeking a rear yard variance to reconstruct an existing deck that is entirely within the required rear yard. On the left here is the existing site plan, and the red dashed line indicates the required rear yard. And this is the existing deck that has a spiral stair down to the garden level. And this is a three-unit building, by the way, and the deck would be off of the first story above the street level. So it's a one-story deck. So on the right is our proposed site plan showing a deck in the same configuration, although we're trimming off the outermost 3 feet and the stairs, so bringing the deck more into conformance with the code. Same height, standard railing across the back. There are two firewalls at either side. There are existing walls there currently. This photograph at the bottom shows the sort of western portion of the existing deck. This is the cantilevered portion we're proposing to eliminate. The space below will remain open space. We're developing the space downstairs as a third bedroom suite for the... couple with two young children who live there. So we're essentially rebuilding this wall here at the property line. You can see the neighboring structure over here has a kind of a balcony cantilevering out there. And this photo on the left here shows the wall on the east side of the property that has this sort of large lattice screen above it currently. And on the right is looking west from the existing deck. So the owners are seeking a variance to basically redevelop the existing deck that's there, bring it closer into conformance. It's not going to extend out any further than it is. They would not be able to perform the work that they're proposing without getting a variance. The deck was there before they built the home. It's entirely in the rear. It's not visible from the public right away, so no impact to the public. We haven't received any comments from any neighbors with respect to the proposed work. That's it.
Thank you. So in removing the stair, you're removing the access to the rear yard kind of at that point, but by developing the ground floor, the unit will still have access to the rear yard through that unit, but there's also a common access to the rear yard for the other units in the building, so they'll still have access to the usable open space.
Right. There's an existing sort of tradesman's alley, which also doubles as a second means of egress that runs along the kind of west side of the building from the front all the way to the rear, and that'll be, there's a door approximately where my pen is, and that will be maintained in the future project.
Staff received a call from a neighbor stating that they were working with the project sponsor on a revised design to address their concerns. Are you aware of that?
I am aware of it, and that didn't have anything to do with the deck. It has to do with there's a one-story light well infill along the east side of the property.
Okay.
And it's at the ground floor, which is currently just outdoor space, and it's inaccessible really to any of the owners. And so we had been proposing a one-story infill of the deck, in part to gain headroom to bring a new stair down to the ground floor. And I think the issues that my client and the other owners were resolving is one of really kind of ownership of that common space and whether or not the infilling of that light well would have any impact on fire safety or things along those lines. But I'm not aware of any concerns raised by the other neighbors with respect to the subject of the variance.
Sorry, so the person who had the complaint was someone else within the building or the entrance?
Yes, one of the two units above.
Okay. And it was about the infill for the laundry and for the stairs within the buildable area?
Correct.
Not part of the
correct.
Buildings. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 3 for 3079 California Street. Seeing no public comment on this item, I'd also note that the 311 expires today. To my knowledge, no discretionary review requests have been filed yet. Close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case number 2015-012455 VAR. 434 and 436 Whaler Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. we bought the 1890s era duplex at 434 436 Waller Street about 18 years ago. In July 2011, a fire destroyed the back end of our property, burning up the rear porch and extending across the roof to the front of the building. With all of the water and smoke damage, the building was essentially destroyed. We kept the studs and the joists and started over. This is the extent of the damage from the rear, showing the shed roof and the over the porch and the butterfly roof. The fire emergency contractor we initially hired encouraged us to maximize the benefits of our insurance money. We added central heating, insulation, double-pane windows, upgraded the electrical and the plumbing, did significant seismic improvements, and restored the front of the building to the Victorian features with the shiplap siding and trim. Additionally, we thought we would have a roof deck. We also switched the large, rather wooden stairs in the back for a more compact circular stair. This photo shows the wooden stairs that were set back off of, there were landings coming off the back of the building and then the big stairway there. The stairs were rather spindly, and we were told to recreate them, we would have to have massive amounts of engineering to put it back the way it was, so we went with a circular stair. When the plans were submitted, we were told that the roof deck would be troublesome, requiring, among other things, a variance. Would take more time for us to be able to get back into our home after the fire. We submitted the plans. Planning department clouded the area around the roof deck and the circular stair. As you can see here, the roof deck and the upper part of the circular stair was taken out. The rest of the plans were approved. As part of the plan, rather than recreating the slope shed roof, the whole roof line was, the flat roof was extended out to the rear edge of the building. These plans were approved in July 2012. Accepting the approved plans, the contractor went forward with reconstruction and built the flat roof. Although the footprint of the building did not change, the rear flat roof is now about 14 inches higher than the existing, than the shed roof was at the time. This picture gives some idea of the scale compared to the building next door. Now, in order to do this, we now know that we should have been applying for a variance back at that time. The reason it wasn't deemed necessary is because plans that were submitted by our then contractor did not show that the shed roof had the slope. So it didn't appear to anybody in planning that we were changing the nature of the roof. This is the original plan as submitted by engineer Paul Whitehead, showing a very minimal slope in the back. We've since parted ways with this engineer who submitted the inaccurate plans. We're now rectifying that now, and we're seeking a variance for the additional roof height. We feel the additional roof height is minimal and has no effect on anyone's air or light. Also, the butterfly roof was moved back 6 feet, giving a net effect of less mass at the top of the building. This is how it is currently built. In addition, we're requesting that the rear stair design previously approved with the stairs on the west side of the building be approved with the stairs moved over to the east side for aesthetic reasons and our floor plans, interior floor plans. It's been 4.5 years since our fire. We're fortunate to be back in our home, but we still haven't finished this project. There are temporary landings outside our rear doors. Pam upstairs still has no egress from the upper unit, which is a concern since we've already had a fire at the building. We're blessed with the support of many of our neighbors. We supplied their petitions that they signed, including both neighbors on either side of us, who have signed a petition of support, and we're asking for you to approve this variance. Exceptional circumstances apply because of the nature of the fire and the fact that we relied on a professional who submitted inaccurate plans to begin with. The plans have already been built. The roof has been there for over 3 years now. The stairs would assist us in letting us use more of the backyard and less mast and overall mast in the rear effect. Two neighbors next door and behind us already have circular stairs. The roof change itself is a very minimal change and should not affect anybody. And in fact, the overall effect by moving the butterfly back 6 feet adds more light to the backyard. There's no other changes in terms of effect in terms of any of the other findings for the variance findings or the general plan findings that we know of.
Thank you. So you noted that the previous permit and plans had inaccuracies on them, and so you said it's been constructed about 3 years ago now, so it's been with that condition, the inaccurate plans.
Right. The plan here, it showed, this was the plan as submitted, and it showed that the prior roof had a very minimal slope, when in fact, as you can see, it was a shed roof.
Yeah.
And so when it went through planning the first time, the flat roof was approved because we didn't accurately show that there was a change there.
So that
we
was,
relied on it. We didn't realize what we were handing it.
So that was constructed. That's been about 3 years. But the stairs have never been constructed. And so since that time, you've been without stairs at the rear, the required means of egress, just a temporary.
Correct. We have a temporary landing on the upstairs. It's plywood on joists. We have a temporary landing on the downstairs. It's plywood on joists and just some makeshift stairs that we just temporarily put in so we could get in and out. But we've been waiting for the final approval on the project to move forward with the whole rear part of the building.
Okay. Have you received any NOVs from DBI?
I'm sorry?
Have you received any notices of violation from the building inspection?
Our neighbor to the rear filed a complaint regarding this. When I spoke to him, he was... He felt that we should have gone through the variance process at the time. We thought because we were rectifying the building after a fire that we were exempt from some of these things. And at the time, we didn't realize we had made this change,
okay,
which would have triggered the variance at the time.
Okay.
So it's been in place. We had a difficulty with the neighbor in the back, and that sort of resulted in his complaint.
Okay.
I don't believe there's an open NOV.
We'll move on to public comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, item number 4 for 434 to 436 Waller Street? So I think we have one member of the public.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, hi, my name is Niels Whelan, and the person that Tom was referring to is the neighbor in the back. And yes, I did file the complaint. We had a lengthy discussion about the project, and I brought this to Tom's attention as he started it, that he probably needed a variance since we ourselves have gone through with the same process, with the same steps. We're very familiar what requires and what's not required. It has an impact on the neighborhood, the roof line, the change of the roof line. It's very concerning to me that we brought this up and we've been shut down, even from the building department, saying, well, there's no need for variance for this. Now we're here today at the variance hearing, and lo and behold, now we need a variance. But that's like 3 years after we build the project, and I feel bad for them that they engaged a contractor or engineer who made drawings that were inaccurate. But that is what it is. As homeowners, we need to make sure that we know what who we're engaging. We are the ones who are responsible for our properties. And the impact is not minimal. It's changed the roof line dramatically. And individuals involved in the project have been fully aware of the fact that maybe they should do some additional investigation into this project, and maybe we shouldn't be submitting drawings that are not actually accurate to what they looked like before. So we have opposed the project, and I'm even surprised that there's no open NOV on this project, since they clearly built something that they don't have a permit for. When we went to their open house to discuss the topic, I wasn't there, but my wife was there, and once again, this topic came up saying, well, we don't need any variance, but here we are, and yes, we do object to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please describe your specific concerns and how it impacts your property? Because you're the property at 235, 237 Losset Street.
That is correct.
Okay.
Light. It has an impact on light.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, item number four for 434, 436 Waller Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. I think the main thing I want to make sure that you understand is we went forward with plans as approved in July 2012. The roof line was built shortly thereafter. Mr. Whelan had no complaint, formal complaint, about this process until we objected to his building a firewall on his circular stairway in his backyard, which butts right up against our property line, and as initially proposed by him, butting up against the property line to the west, which would have required him to build a 26-foot wall, firewall next to the stairway. We opposed that project. In retaliation for our opposition to that project, Mr. Whelan has now opposed our project. It had been built for 2 years before Mr. Whelan filed any objection. We don't believe his objection has any merit. We believe that it's a very small change in the roof line. His unit is upstairs, and in fact, the pictures that you see were supplied to us by Mr. Whelan, and he the angle at which he views the property, the roof line wouldn't affect his light or air. And if there were any effect, as we said before, we believe it's mitigated by the fact that the butterfly is moved back for a net reduction in the overall mass and increase in light and air.
Where's this photo taken from?
I believe this photo was taken by Mr. Whelan from his upper deck.
Okay, thank you. And for the spiral staircase that you're proposing, you are set back at least 3 feet from the east.
Right. Our spiral staircase would be 3 feet back from the eastern border. We were advised that you can put a stairway on the property line if you build the firewall. We just didn't. We're friends with our next door neighbor, and we didn't want to ask him to build a 26-foot wall next to his backyard.
Okay. But no firewall is required for your project
because of the 3-foot setback on the stair.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we would close the public hearing. Would be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number five, case number 2014.0161V, 2201 Market Street, rear yard and permitted obstructions, variance is sought. You have 5 minutes also, sir.
So you may need to press the input button again because I had to press it to get it back on. So let me know if you have any problems.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator. My name is Chris Foley. On behalf of Don St. Cyr, the property owner, Don and his family have owned this property for over 50 years, and unluckily he can't be here today. He's traveling with his grandchildren. The project under consideration is a 14-unit residential development over ground floor retail. It's been in the works since January 14, after Starbucks very unsuccessfully tried to locate in the existing building. The project has changed significantly since 2014, increasing in size from 9 to 14 units and adding 2 BMR units. This will also be a rental building. The family has owned it for 50 years. On behalf of Don, I've met multiple times with the Bowstriangle Neighborhood Association and other groups around the neighborhood. And DTNA, we've reshaped the project multiple times with their input. While we would love to propose a code-compliant project, because of the shape and the size of the property, a very small triangle lot, we're asking for two variances, one for your yard and one for permitted obstructions. The rear yard is to allow us to hold the street wall along Sanchez, and the permitted obstruction is to enhance the project design, provide a strong street corner, and be consistent with upper market design guidelines. Before turning it over to Robert Edmonds of Edmonds & Lee, our architect, I want to thank Planning Department staff for their help, and in particular Doug View. Robert will now walk through the project design and the variance.
Good morning. My name is Robert Edmonds. I'm with Edmonds & Lee Architects, the architect for the project before you at 2201 Market Street. As Chris mentioned, we are seeking two variances today. The first is a variance for the rear yard, section 134, and the second variance we're seeking is for a variance for a permitted obstruction to section 136. Before I get into the details of the variance, I'd like to just walk you through some of the particular aspects of the site itself. It is a very unusual site in that it is a triangular parcel within a triangular block. It's a corner lot, and we're bounded by Market Street to the north and Sanchez Street to the east. Two particular aspects that are critical to this project that I'd like to point out within the site that you'll notice is that within the block, most of the buildings are built to full coverage. There is no pattern of rear yards or mid-block open space. The second important aspect I'd like to stress as well is that within the street frontages on Market Street, you'll notice our neighbor on the right side of the slide is a continuous street wall. Our site is to the left of 2201 Market, and to the right you'll see that continuous street wall. On the Sanchez Street elevation, you'll notice the same set of circumstances, so creating basically a flat iron lot with a kind of continuous street wall with unbroken street frontages. This slide in particular shows the two areas of work that we're seeking variances for. The image on the left shows a plot plan of the site describing what would be a prescriptive rear yard for the zoning code. We don't think that this is an appropriate rear yard for two reasons. The first is that it would create a very large break in the street wall, and the second reason is that it wouldn't address the existing light wall on the adjacent property. So as such, we're requesting a variance to the rear yard and proposing instead a 9-foot wide kind of light well that's parallel to the property line. The second aspect that we're seeking for a variance for is for the bay window at the corner condition. As Chris mentioned earlier, this is a very tight site. We have 14 units. Given the nature of the geometry of the site, the acuteness of the angle, unit layouts are very, very difficult. In particular, this corner unit suffers from the acuteness of the angle. So by providing a corner bay window that has a 3-foot extension beyond the property line, we can add some more square footage, making that corner unit much more usable. Another aspect to the corner bay window is also to address the upper market design guidelines and also what's happening in the surrounding areas with buildings that are currently under construction and the idea that providing a kind of strong corner architectural element to the building. And so just to finish up, I'd like to just show a couple slides of the project as proposed. The slide on the right shows that kind of corner bay element and the kind of dramatic corner architecture it provides. And then lastly, an image of the project from Market Street. And that concludes my presentation. Available for questions.
Thank you. Yes, just to, excuse me, just to clarify. So I believe you're actually seeking a modification under Section 134E1, given that you are doing residential units. And so you've taken the area that would be required for a code-complying rear yard. You have that area at the second floor deck, but you also have a roof deck, correct?
That is correct.
So you're far exceeding the required amount of open area in ways that are more directly accessible or easily accessible commonly from the units.
Dramatically exceeding, yes.
And then, like as you noted, given the gore corner there, you're kind of doing the best you can with having functional units at those levels. So you're seeking the bay window variance. You're not actually providing more area than would otherwise be allowed by code-complying bays. I mean, actually, I think the corner is pretty much the only bay that you have. Is that correct? correct?
The corner is the only bay. It's a 3-foot extension. There are some awning elements, I suppose. These are the awning elements that are 12 inches deep that project beyond the property line.
But in terms of usable area,
correct,
you're not encroaching more than would otherwise be allowed by a code-complying design.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll see if there's any public comment on the item, and we're on item number 5 for 2201 Market Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the rear yard modification and the permitted obstruction variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2015-012021 VAR, 4612 19th Street, rear yard variance on. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes to say.
Great. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm John Lum, the project architect for the proposal at 4612 19th Street. The subject property is almost 30 feet wide by 92 feet long through lot. It's a through lot between 19th Street and Thorpe Lane. On its northeast side, it is bordered by Clover Lane, a public walkway. It is zoned RH2. The project proposes to renovate and enlarge a single-family home fronting on 19th Street and demolish, rebuild, and enlarge the legal non-conforming garage structure facing Thorpe Lane. As the garage is wholly in the required rear yard, this part of the proposal requires a variance from the rear yard standards in Section 134. The house expansion was coordinated with the neighbor's expansion plans at 4618 19th and has the support of both adjacent neighbors. That's going to be soon sent out for a 311 notification. So the garage plan, Quan. The existing garage is 19 feet 9 long by 17 feet 11 inches wide, 13 feet tall at the peak of a shallow slope gable roof, and set back from Thorpe Lane 2 foot 8 inches. The proposed garage is 23 feet 3 inches long by 24 foot 2 inches wide, 9 feet tall with 3 foot 6 inches glass railings around a rooftop deck, and would be set back from Thorpe Lane 1 foot 9 inches. Currently, the existing structural conditions of that garage are very questionable, so it needs to be rebuilt regardless. As you can see from the overhead, there is a pattern of rear yard garages at the back of most of the nearby through lots. Two neighboring properties, 4630 19th Street and 4636 19th, were both approved for similar garage variances. 4630 for rebuild and enlargement last summer, and 4636 for a large new garage in 2010. The garage at 4630 was approved as 21 feet deep by 25 feet wide and 10 foot 8 inches tall. The garage approved at 4636 was 21 feet by 21 feet and 13 feet 6 inches tall. Next graphic. Yard usability. Although the distance between the rear walls of the house and garage will be reduced from 30 feet 3 inches to 13 feet at its shortest dimension, the usable open space is going to be expanded from a hilly, unusable length to a level length of just over 36 feet. That's inclusive of the deck on the top of the garage. As for the findings, the fact that this is a steeply sloping through lot with a pattern of existing rear garages combined with an existing condition of on-street parking on 19th Street, which is not interrupted with any curb cuts, is an exceptional circumstance. The existing garage is in poor condition, only accommodates one vehicle with ease of vehicle egress, and removes usable open space from the rear yard. Other adjacent properties, both long existing non-conforming structures as well as recently approved variance projects, have two-car garages of approximately 25 feet in width fronting on Thorpe, and also some provide a rooftop open space. The location of the garage on the low elevation at the end of the lot, its low profile and its depth, consistent with adjacent garages, will render it unobtrusive to neighbors. The small open space remaining at the corner of Thorpe and Clover Lanes will effectively transition the build-up portion of the lot to the public walkway on Clover, so be the least impact to Clover Lane. Because there is no street parking on Thorpe, and in fact no curbs, the minor expansion garage width will have no negative impact on street parking. Additionally, although Thorpe Lane is publicly owned, it is privately maintained, and so the minor expansion of its garage width will help maintain security along the lane. The property owner will also be contributing to an escrow account used to maintain the lane. That concludes my presentation. Please ask me any questions that you have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So the proposed garage is approximately 9 feet in height with the roof deck above. There's also substantial alterations to the main building at the front of the lot, but none of those encroach into the rear yard, and you're
That's correct.
Seeking the variance for the garage.
And we have support of both of the neighbors on adjacent sides.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Is there any public comment on item number 6 for 4612 19th Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the topography, the pattern of the garages, and replacement of the existing condition, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2015-014154-VAR, 579 Elizabeth Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Yes. So this is the declaration. Good morning. My name is Adele Salierno, and I work with Gaddis Julinskas Architects, who is the firm representing the owner in getting a permit for this project. 570. So the existing building at 579 Elizabeth Street is an existing non-conforming rear addition that has been there for a very long time. The addition is already present in the sandboard map, and it's also visible in an aerial picture dating 1938, which is this one. The reason why it's important is that if this addition is partially located within the rear yard setback, and if that addition wasn't there, we wouldn't be seeking a variance today, because what we are proposing falls within the guidelines of Section 136 of the Planning Code. The existing deck that is there right now is really nothing more than a balcony. It's not code compliant, and again, it's not really a deck, and is the only connection between the between the existing house and the rear yard. There is no other way to get to the rear yard unless for this deck. The one that we are proposing is only about 5 feet longer than the existing one. It's going to be code compliant, and it's going to allow the owners to actually enjoy their backyard, because right now they aren't. And also, all the adjacent properties have decks. Some of them are within the required setback, and generally speaking, this area has lots of decks. So what we are proposing is really... it's pretty much what everybody else is doing. And also we are proposing to keep the deck 5 feet from both west and east property line, so that the firewall will not be required, and the deck will be transparent, and there will be no walls, so will not have impact on light. And also, all the neighbors have been kept in the loop for this project, and we have 2 letters of support. One is from the adjacent neighbor on the west, and one is from another neighbor across the street.
Okay, thank you. And you know, the lot itself is fairly large, about 114 feet deep, but is a little bit narrower than typical, about 22 feet. But the deck does extend further than the existing deck, and also...
It's just 5 feet further than the existing deck, but it's also not so large anymore. And also, the back, the south part of the yard has a really steep slope, so it's not usable.
Okay. And it extends further than the adjacent property, and you said you have support from all of the... All of the adjacent properties, or
we have support from one adjacent property, the one to the west, which has the smaller deck, whose deck is not coming so forward, and another neighbor across the street.
Okay.
But nobody has complained.
Okay. And I know the Section 311 notice expired last week, and there were no discretionary review requests. Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on the item.
Thanks.
Is there any public comment on item number 7 for 579 Elizabeth Street? Seeing none, would close the public hearing. I'm a little concerned on the justifications for the variance, and that it does encroach further into the rear than the adjacent. It is a single-family dwelling. It's providing usable open space, but at this point, I'm going to take the matter under advisement for further consideration and will not make a decision at this point, and we'll be in contact if we have any additional questions. But thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2015-009485-VAR. 630 Natoma Street, rear yard and usable open space, variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Scott Couture. I'm the project architect. A quick brief project history. This proposal has completed the EE review in December. The existing building that's on site was deemed not to be a historic resource. Also in December, we did a pre-app noticing and had a pre-app meeting. The variance notice went out in February and a site permit notice, and I believe went out very recently in March. The existing building that's on there, it's a one-story storage building. You can see to the east, there is a three-story multi-unit building. To the west, there is a four-story multi-unit building. Both of them are residential. In the rear yard, this is the building to the east. As you can see, it encroaches well into the rear yard setbacks. Beyond that, there are decks also in this rear yard setback that go basically to the property line. On the west, which is here, there is this building also encroaches into the setback, and the decks also continue off into that setback area. This sort of shows the neighborhood patterns. The dark gray areas are the existing buildings. The light gray area in the middle is our proposal. As you can see, pretty much all the existing buildings along that block encroach into that mid-block setback area. Both neighbors, as you can see, also encroach in the mid-block area. And both of them actually encroach into the project site. So the building to the east, the ground floor is actually on their property line, but the building is sort of precariously leaning into the 630 Natoma site. The building to the west, the four-story building, is actually built over the property line about 10 inches, and that runs for the full length of the building, which is about 65 feet. And to the north here, you can see there is a open parking lot. Kind of a brief project description. We are requesting a rear yard setback variance and an open space, usable open space variance. We are proposing to remove the storage building and replace with three units over two-car parking. The parking garage includes ample bike storage. The project goals that we have sort of blend in with the existing patterns and scale of the neighborhood with our proposal. The architecture we're doing is sort of relevant to 2016, it's sort of a modern style. And we're going to create some open and bright living areas with the easy access outdoor spaces readily available. In the front, kind of a design approach. We have to the east is a sort of a two-story kind of a beveled bay. To the west is a double beveled bay front profile. We're going to continue that pattern across the front of the building. And you kind of see the rhythm of the bays as it travels from east to west. The building to the east is a three-story building. Our front facade reads as a three-story in the front. To sort of carry that elevation, that roof elevation line across. We have a slight setback to the four-story to start to pick up the height of the four-story building on the west side of that. So sort of a nice transition between the front, between the eastern building and the western building. In the rear, what we're proposing is our sidewalls match the adjacent property identically. So to the east, our sidewall elevation stops at the same point that theirs does in the rear yard setback. On the west, also the same thing. Our building does not encroach beyond the western profile. And then we've sort of angled and stepped the back of our facade back to create a sense of privacy. And so what that means is this is the building to the right. We're not going to build beyond this line. There's a recess here with some windows. We're not going to impede on the privacy of the light of those windows. And also to the west, we're going to build right up to the edge of this line here and match that and not go beyond that. And this is sort of a rendering of the back there where we're matching the elevation, the sort of the matching the line that comes down the western building and also matching the line down the eastern building. And as you can see, our building has ample glass in the back. These doors all open. We have railings out there. and I'll kind of explain that in a second here. The usable open space that we've provided, this is the lower units on the first floor. It's in the northern part of the building. It's unit one. This is a general pattern that we've used for all the living areas in the space. It's a very open plan. Our exterior walls are all glass doors so that we can slide them open. There's railings there. So this interior space, when it's open, should feel very much like an outdoor space. And it has an easy access to a lower patio.
That is your time, but if you could wrap up your final thought.
Yeah, let me just wrap up the findings, the variance findings. Finding number one and two, exceptional extraordinary circumstances, garden hardship. As I stated before, both buildings sort of lean into the property. One is actually built onto the property. It minimizes our available usable space. Also, both buildings fully encroach into the rear yard setback, minimizing the available light and quality of the space in the back there. Finding number three, preservation of property rights enjoyed by others. The majority of the neighbors encroach into the rear yard. We are asking basically for the same thing with the exclusion of the decks. I think our proposal sensibly continues this pattern. Finding number five, proposals harmony with the intent of the code. The rear yard variance, again, it allows us to continue that neighborhood mid-block pattern that exists. And the usable open space variance will allow us to create some really nice private spaces above and below.
Thank you. So for the three units that are proposed, they're all two-bedroom units. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And then they each have private usable open space.
They do.
The private usable open space at the rear for one of the units, but it doesn't meet our dimensional requirements. And then beyond that, you have the roof decks, which do not meet.
Correct, which is specific for this district.
That's explicit. And you're made aware of the impact fees that are related to usable open space when you're not providing the required usable open space?
Correct. Okay. Our client is very excited about that.
I would imagine so. Okay, thank you. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on item number 8 for 630 Natoma Street. Any public comment on this item?
Ma'am.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good morning, sir. My name is Sophia. I had it. My name is Sophia. I would like to know, I didn't get understand this four-story residential 632 or 630 Natoma. The construction is four-story residential building and three dwelling units. Ours is three units. So I didn't understand if it will go beyond our building. Because here also is four-story residential. So I want only that they will construct. I have no problem with the construction. I have problem if they will exceed our building. That's all. I don't understand this one. If it exceeds, I don't like because I had already experienced when you have an open house, that building is so low, it's full of trust. And then if they will be ahead with us, our building will be full of trust also. And they will shade our, there is a part there with the restroom. So it will be darker now because they are tall. That's the only problem I have there. And I hope they will not extend so high from our building. It should be level.
Thank you. So which property do you have on Natoma?
Yeah.
What's the address of your property?
632A, 632, 634.
So is that the property to the west, the project sponsor? Okay. So it looks like, I think it would be best if you were to speak further with the project sponsor, but believe that the height will be fairly close to the height of your building, excluding the, there'll be a stair penthouse that goes higher, but the height of your roof is probably within a few inches of the height of their roof. But
that's
it might be helpful if you were to discuss that further with the project sponsor so they can help you understand the relationship between your building and their building. So the height of their building to the roof will be essentially the same, but they are also proposing a roof deck, which means that they have to have
a stair penthouse. And so they will have stairs going up to the roof and an enclosure around those stairs that will be higher than your building, but that will be very limited in the size of it. But I think it would be helpful if you were to discuss, and they can show you the plans and renderings that they have, which I think will make it a lot easier to understand the project.
Yeah, because as of now, it was just a few weeks. There's already graffiti. The ceiling and that very top. I don't know how come it wasn't like that. So that's why I had a problem if they will extend more than our building.
Well, I think it'll be up to the height of your building, but I think if there are concerns about graffiti or how the building may be maintained in the interim, they can discuss that with you to ensure that their building is secure and people aren't climbing up there and tagging your building. So.
That's it. Okay. That's my problem. So I hope that will be solved.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Is there any other public comment on the item number 8 for 630 Natoma Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed.
You're not going to give them the 3-minute rebuttal?
Oh, sure. Yes. 3-minute rebuttal if you would like to use that time.
No, I think we've answered questions. Okay. We'll correspond with her and address any issues.
Okay. So the project sponsor has noted that they will work with the adjacent neighbor to address their concerns. Close the public hearing. Would be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the existing pattern and that they are providing decent-sized units with their private usable open space. It just does not count towards the requirements given the planning code provisions for Western Soma, and they'll be subject to any applicable impact fees. Next item, please.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014-002072-VAR, 1948 Pacific Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Support letter and affidavit of posting. John Duffy, project architect for 1948 Pacific Avenue. We're applying for a variance today for this new deck in the rear yard of the property. There was an existing deck on the property up until 2012, and we are proposing to rebuild the deck about the third of the size of the original. The subject property sits on a downslope lot. The rear yard is approximately one story below the street grade or two stories below the main living level. The proposed design aims to provide easily accessible and usable open space in the rear yard for the family, which consists of 2 adults and 4 young children. The deck would sit over the proposed first-floor rear yard addition. 2 flights of stairs on the east side would provide access down to the rear yard, and it will help set it back from the east neighbor's property line to reduce impacts and privacy concerns. The two-tier deck structure that existed on the property until 2012 was approximately 1,166 square feet, so this deck we're proposing is one-third the size. Although technically non-conforming, this new deck would be a lesser non-conformity than the original deck. The proposed deck is also held back 26 feet from the north property line to reduce privacy concerns and reduce any shadowing on the neighbors. The deck is also within the shadow line of the existing building, which is quite tall, so it doesn't project any shadows on the north direction at all. The main building, however, does, and any shadows projected in the easterly direction are about equal with the shadows from the original deck, which sat hard up against the east property line. I'd like to show an image of the original deck. considerably bigger. The other properties to the north also have decks. These are roof decks on the adjacent properties. And we have the support of this neighbor, Gene Ellis. However, he did not get the letter to me in time. I'm also going to show an image of the shadows projected by the existing, sorry, the proposed deck. This is at 4 p.m., July 21st, basically when the sun's at the highest in the summertime. The shadow from the deck rail is about equal to the shadow from the original deck, and no shadows are projected north. This extension and deck is within the shadow line of the existing building. I'll quickly show an image of the previous deck. So this was the original two-tier deck structure up hard against the east side. There's another level down below, and quite a bit bigger. Basically, the deck we're proposing is one-third the size. This is an image of the original deck that was here until 2012. We can see the shadow is about equal at the same time of day, July 21, 4 p.m., into the middle of the rear yard, the same as the proposed one. I'll quickly go through the findings. Number one, exceptional extraordinary circumstances. The exceptional and extraordinary circumstances which apply to the property are the steepness of the downslope lot, approximately 22 feet above the living level or one story above the street level. And the owners have four active young children and would like access not just to the rear yard, but also off of the living level. The proposed design aims to provide this accessible and usable open space for the active young children of the family. Two flights of stairs are proposed to provide access on the east side and reduce any impacts and shadows on the neighboring property. Number two, owing to the exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the steep downslope and elevation to the yard below, 22 feet, is an existing condition and hardship not attributable to the current owners. We're just trying to work with what's there and make this thing work. The touch of variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment. The neighboring properties all have similar decks. Many are much bigger. Ours is quite a modest deck by comparison.
Thank you. That is your time, but if you want to wrap up that last thought that you had.
The neighboring properties all have decks. Directly north are a considerable, I think there are four approximately decks, most of which are probably double in size. So we don't think we're doing anything different or applying for anything different than most of the neighbors have. So the clients would like to enjoy their property to the same degree by providing usable open space with a modest deck off the kitchen level and safe and adequate access to the rear yard, because otherwise it's essentially two stories below and it's just not ideal for young children, and providing access with a stair to get down there to them and supervise them.
Thank you.
So thank you.
When was the deck at the rear removed again?
We think approximately 2012. It was not present when the house was purchased.
Okay, so the stair, it was not the condition when the current owners, they were aware that there was no stair access.
Correct. When they bought the property, in fact, the rear door was boarded up because there was basically just air out there. There was no stairwell, no deck, just raw yard.
In addition to the deck that you're providing from at the kitchen level, accessible from the kitchen level, there's also two stories of construction below it, including, I believe, one bedroom, an open play area.
Yes.
I think a second media room and sitting room. So there's also substantial construction going along with the project beyond just the deck.
That is correct. Clear.
Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 9 for 1948 Pacific Avenue. And you have 3 minutes to speak.
You have 3 minutes. I've owned this property for approximately 35 to 36 years. I've seen four owners come and go. He's right. The original deck was huge. It was illegal. Both the former owner, two of the former owners, have tried to enlarge it where they couldn't. Arnold Lobb, who was the last owner, he was a personal attorney, personal injury attorney. He brought in 3 feet of dirt behind the main big deck. Then he built a 3-foot deck on top of it. Then, when I complained, he took it to a variance board. I sat between, you know, in front of a group of 5 men who told him he had to take the dirt out. He had to take all of the building out that he had done, and he was to construct a stairwell on the west side of the property away from mine. When these people brought the property of 7,200 square feet, they proceeded to start digging out a lot. And I went to see the planning person of Edgar Oropesa and Sharon Young because I was told that Edgar had told the new contractor that if he moved the deck 5 feet to the right, then he could construct one about 15 feet higher than what the original deck was. Then I also saw the head building inspector, and his name is Patrick Riordan. He and I and the first building inspector met in March. After March, all of a sudden, they brought in a backhoe, and they started digging out the rear yard, at least 10 feet of dirt, and I have a picture of that here. If I can find it, just a moment. Here is the rear yard. Originally, the deck isn't here. They tore it down right away instead of leaving it because here was the garage level that they made a garage. Then they dug out way down here to make the media room or whatever you want to call it. Then pipes started appearing. Concrete started appearing. I again went down to the planning department. I again went down to the building department. I said, someone's not watching this project. They are altering the level of the yard, exactly what happened 25 years ago. And now they want you to think that they can't get down from their kitchen door down to the level because they've dug it out 20 feet and they have a drop of 20-some feet to get down to it now. And I can show you where Arnold Lobb got down from his kitchen. He actually boarded up the door because his fourth wife wanted to, again, change the deck, but they found out they couldn't do it, so they just boarded up the kitchen door. But they had stairs leading down. I'll show you. This is how far up. This is the line that they put up here to show me how far up they wanted to build that deck. The deck will be built right about here because here's the kitchen door. Here's my bedroom, and I have another bedroom over here. This is my living room. This is my yard. Look at this distance between here. You can't go and start altering the topography in order to fit your needs.
Thank you. That is your time, but do you have one more photo? Or?
Oh, I have a ton of photos. Here's my neighbor on my west side. I'm stuck back in the tunnel. I was stuck back in the tunnel with Arnie for 35 years. But he was an okay guy. He tried to do it legally, then he did it illegally. But,
Thank you. So now, could you go back to the one photo of the rear of the building that where you showed the door?
I've got a great picture of that. Just a moment. I have so many pictures here. Here's another picture of the dirt that they dug out way down where they're building another unit. Here's the door that Arnie used to come out of right here. And he had stairs. Where's that old picture?
So that's the current state of the building?
This is where the old deck used to be, well, right about in here. And Arnie had to come out. They made him come out onto a landing, and then he came downstairs to that old, huge deck. And then these people immediately tore all that out, and then they dug the dirt out, so it makes you think they have a huge jump down to their property, which they do now. But it's their problem.
Okay.
I didn't create that.
Thank you.
I don't want them looking to my... I'm losing my privacy.
Thank you. So to get to the concerns that you have about their current proposal, and we'll ask the project sponsor about kind of where they are with their project now, but
The concern is primarily with the deck extending beyond your building.
They never took out permits to dig out the dirt. They never took permits out to build the building down below because the building inspector didn't know anything about this till I told him what was happening.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask the project sponsor about that. Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 9 for 1948 Pacific Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute
rebuttal. I have
one
more thing, can I say?
Just very briefly.
This guy tried to threaten me, telling me I didn't have a proper building permit, and I did.
Thank you. We'll get the rebuttal from the project sponsor now. Thank you. So you have a 3-minute rebuttal?
I think the owner would like to speak.
Okay.
Hi.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Girish Pancha. I'm the owner of the property that we bought in June 2014. My wife's hopefully going to be here. She may or may not try to speak in 3 minutes. With respect to the specific objections around the digging down on the property, you know, we basically everything was done with permit, and it was very much focused on reinforcing the foundation. So that's the work we figured could be done without going through the rest of the variance process. So as far as we're concerned, everything, you know, there's nothing we've done that's illegally. Obviously, I don't have the pre-existing understanding of the previous owner and the issues that, you know, he may have had with the neighbors. I've lived in the city for 27 years myself, been a homeowner, been a good neighbor up and down in various neighborhoods. So I would still commit to doing that. We do have a number of other owners that are supporting this particular property. I'd like just to reiterate what John said, just in terms of having some indoor-outdoor space from the kitchen area. That's where, you know, with 4 young kids, you know, all under 9 years old, that's where, you know, my wife, who's a stay-at-home mom, ends up spending most of her time. So, you know, really it would be kind of like dangerous for us to have them in different levels, not, you know, 2-year-old and 3-year-old, not being able to have have them within hearing and line of sight. So that's really, I think, the main reason behind this. Again, reiterating, we think it's a pretty modest deck. It's, you know, 300 square feet. There's 1,000 square foot of deck right across from us and on the Broadway area. There's other large and large decks, and the previous deck was, we estimate, more than approximately 1,200 square feet. So it's a 70% reduction in terms of the deck space that we're proposing. So that's, you know, what I'd appreciate here. You know, the property has been in kind of a semi-construct form. It was unusable. It was unlivable when we moved in. The walls were rotting. The electrical was basically early 20th century. As we said, the back door was boarded up. There was no access really to the backyard from the property. You know, so we thought, and maybe incorrectly, that, you know, we were doing the right things and kind of speeding up the easy stuff, and then, you know, working on getting this permit approved, which clearly is taking, you know, longer than what I had envisioned. So would appreciate if, you know, it was passed as we've proposed. We've heard from a number of neighbors. We changed some of the original plans that were, you know, clearly maybe too grand, but, you know, it is a great Victorian, built in 1888. We'd like to restore it to its former glory and make it livable for us. You know, 4 kids committed to the city, you know, When we started having family, you know, we were asked to move out of the city by a lot of our friends, but now we're committed to, you know, staying here, and that's why we bought this house. Thank you.
Thank you. So you said that the work that has been done, which you said has proper permits, was done to strengthen the foundation. So the photos that we saw from the neighbor showing all that excavation was a foundation replacement?
That's my understanding, yes. So that's what we did. We have been reported by the neighbor a few times, so people have come to the property, looked at it, signed off on the work that was being done as being, you know, being reasonable for getting that foundation work.
So that was your understanding. Does your architect know more explicitly?
The work is a complete foundation replacement. It was brick throughout. That was all removed. And when they got to the rear, it turns out there's an incredibly deep crawl space back there. So once the excavations, there was more dirt in the outside than there was on the inside, which I think reflects what the neighbor was talking about, that somebody may have infilled that rear yard. So there was a very tall brick wall back there. Once it was taken away, there's this incredibly deep crawl space. So the idea was, even if this thing doesn't get approved, it's There's just going to be a crawl space back there. It would, you could basically build the wall in alignment with the old wall.
So you're saying that the what looks to be so much excavation is because the grade underneath the building,
natural grade
was lower,
much lower. Yes, a very deep crawl space towards the rear. We suspect that, as the neighbor had indicated, that it probably was infilled in the rear, but a brick retaining wall. So there was no hope of saving it, and all original. So complete foundation replacement, and we essentially were left with a very large hole. So the idea was, well, let's capture it for now, and if we don't get an approval on it, then it'll just simply be a very tall crawl space that's unused.
Because what was shown as existing grade on your plans doesn't quite line up with what...
The drawings are done so long ago that the permit was pulled afterwards in that other work. I think I submitted in 2014.
I'm looking at the... These are the plans for the variance, which... were just dated last year.
Okay, so it was November of 15, I believe, then?
Yeah, this is... Looks like it says revised... last revised October 2015.
The foundation replacement work began after that, and now it's essentially... It's not the permit's not closed out, but the work is essentially ostensibly done.
Is there a stop work order on
that? No, there's no stop work order. I think the contractor and the owner decided, well, if we get an approval in a reasonable time with this application, then it would be worth waiting and finish them out together. If not, then he could close it out. He could just wrap it up. I would say 95% of the work is done. There's some temporary steel columns there at the moment in the middle of it.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
So with that, I'll close the public hearing. I'll take the matter under advisement at this point. Would like to further review the materials, and if the neighbor could submit hard copies of those photos, if you have them even electronically, you can email them to our staff so we can have that. But I think we'd like to review the matter more carefully, and we'll take the matter under advisement and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2015-002643VAR. 3880 Jackson Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, ma'am. Oh, you want to do a question?
Thank you.
Let's use the PDF. From the beginning. There you go.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Dr. Krista Ramonis. My husband, Gordon Rubenstein, and I are the project sponsors. We have three young children and live in the Richmond. We purchased 3880 Jackson Street in order to be closer to our children's elementary school as well as our temple. Upon purchasing the home in February of 2015, we spoke with the prior owners of the adjacent property to the east, 3878 Jackson, and shared our plans for remodeling. 2 months in, we learned these neighbors were relocating and Blake Baird took possession of the house. We immediately established contact with him and scheduled a meeting. Our plans at that point were complete. In August, we commenced construction. As construction proceeded, extensive dry rot was uncovered. We acknowledge an error was made not properly permitting the scope of the dry rot when it presented itself. To date, our construction has been stopped for 3 months, and unfortunately, we will no longer be able to move in at the start of the school year. At the moment, we have 20 letters of neighbor support, the 20th which I received last evening. I would like, with your permission, to enter into the record. So many of the supporters are with us this morning. Thank you for your consideration of this variance.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Mary Murphy, Gibson, Dunn, and Karcher, counsel for the project sponsor. As you know, we are here to respectfully request that you grant variances from the rear yard requirements set forth in Section 134 of the Planning Code. The variances would simply permit the house to retain the same building envelope it has had since it was originally constructed in 1923, achieve greater functionality within that space, and permit a consistent height of the railing on the roof deck. There would be no addition or expansion of the original building envelope. This request clearly meets all the elements of Section 305 of the Code. Section 305 requires the variance to be in harmony with the general purpose of the Planning Code. The purpose of Section 134, the rear yard requirement, is clearly articulated in that code section, and I quote, "These requirements are intended to assure the protection and continuation of established mid-block landscaped open spaces and maintenance of a scale of development appropriate to each district, consistent with the location of adjacent buildings," end quote. Clearly, Section 134 speaks to the prevailing rectangular block layout of the city grid. This slide shows the subject lot in yellow, and the blue represents lots that have structures in the rear yard. As you can see, the subject lot and the entire city block of which it is a part represents an extraordinary or exceptional circumstance. This block is at the terminus of the city grid. This is not a typical rectangular block, and there is no mid-block open space here. This slide shows the subject block and the next two blocks to the east. All these homes have open space of all these homes abut the open space of the Presidio National Park, which functions as a rear yard open space and ensures adequate light and air. Thus, the stated purpose of Section 134 of preserving mid-block open space is inapplicable in this context. The extraordinary configuration of this block also means that the lots are shorter than similar lots in this district. The subject lot is only 62 and a half feet long, much shorter than the typical lot in this lot length in this district. This slide shows that the required rear yard line is in purple. As you can see, the literal enforcement of Section 134 would limit the functionality of this lot. This would clearly be a hardship and an unnecessary one, given that the lot abuts a national park. Granting this variance would preserve to this property a substantial property right possessed by other properties in this district and on this very block. Again, the rear yard line in this slide is shown in purple, and blue means that there is a structure in the rear yard. As you can see, almost all the homes on this block occupy some or all of the rear yard. Many of those are legally non-complying structures, but others have sought and obtained variances, presumably because at some point they sought to enlarge the structure. The crosshatch on this slide shows which lots received rear yard variances on this block. You'll note that the properties on either side of the subject property received rear yard variances. This slide also confirms that the granting the variance would maintain an appropriate scale of development and would not be materially injurious to other properties in the vicinity. In closing, the stated purpose of the rear yard requirement in itself demonstrates that its application to this extraordinary circumstance is unwarranted. Granting this application will allow the property to continue in the same building envelope it has had since 1923. Failing to grant this would deny the property the rights held by all of its neighbors. We therefore would respectfully request that you grant these variances. Thank you, and we're here to answer any questions you might have, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you. So could you maybe briefly detail the scope of the project? And as I understand it, you're reconstructing part of the existing legal non-complying building, infilling a light well, which is within the required rear yard, and above that you have a very large roof deck. Is that the extent of the project?
That's correct. And with respect to the variances are for those three items. And with the roof deck, it's just to raise the railing because, as you know, there's a permitted obstruction. But to get it to a consistent height, we would need a variance for that as well.
Okay. And What level of discussion has there been with adjacent property owners regarding concerns about the project to date?
The primary concern that's been expressed, as you've seen in the letters, there's a lot of people here who are in support of the project, many of the neighbors. And the primary concern is the neighbor, and I think you'll hear from him and his representative, Mr. Nikitas, to the immediate east of the property. And we've had a series of exchanges. I don't mean to speak exclusively for them, but it has been about the roof deck and the size of the roof deck. And so we've been going back and forth, and unfortunately, when we got here today, we hadn't been able to reach a resolution. We've been exchanging compromises. We had proposed to cut away the roof deck. There's a bay window that's in the rear yard. I believe it was built in accordance with the variance that was received by that property when a prior owner owned it. And the neighbor was concerned about his, expressed concern about his privacy and about activity on the roof. He had wanted the roof deck to be short of that building and not be in the rear yard, and we had proposed a cutaway to cut away the roof deck. And then to also, there was concerns about privacy. We had originally proposed a privacy wall or hedges to provide that privacy. I think there was concern expressed that that would not be something that they would want. They were concerned it would block the views and the light. So we proposed to pay to change out their windows with privacy glass where you can see out clearly, but no one can see in. And that's where the state of the back and forth was. I thought we were getting close, but we hadn't been able to fully compromise it. So we have been in pretty constant discussions lately with the neighbors, and unfortunately we just haven't reached a resolution of that issue. And I think that's the primary concern that they have, but again, I wouldn't presume to speak for them.
Thank you. And the plans that I have, which are dated from mid-February, I believe that these are the most recent ones. There is a planting, like about a 2-foot row of planting at the eastern edge of the deck. And I think, is that the kind of current version that we're
No, I can I can show you an image of the last exchange. I think it's in a paper.
That would be helpful.
Can I have a paper? Why don't you just give me the paper? I think I can put it on the overhead. That probably do just as. It's the last, Janai, I need the last roof deck proposal.
These are the four.
The ones that were, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Mr. Sanchez. Let me just put this on the overhead and see. Can we switch to the overhead? Thanks. I put it up.
Face up. Yeah, face up. Yeah, perfect.
Aha. All right. I think I would be able to handle this technology at my age, but even this poses. So what you see here, this was an alternative. So you can see here, Mr. Sanchez, that this is the window that my understand Mr. Baird is concerned about. This is he was concerned about the privacy from here. So where we were with him on the last one was that he had proposed that the deck not go beyond there. We had proposed to cut it away, and then when he had concerns about this particular grass, or we had proposed a privacy wall, a grass wall. We said that he could review that and work with him on it, but he had concerns about that. So the last offer we made was to, instead of doing that, to have the roof deck go in this configuration, but to pay to change out his windows with privacy glass so that, as I said, he could see out. Is this the very last one? Okay, that's the last one.
Okay, and yeah. It is a substantial roof deck. I mean, even on the reduced size, it's 726 square feet. And just to confirm that this only requires the one set of stairs under the building code,
yes,
because it's a single-family dwelling? Or
sprinkler.
And sprinkler, okay, thank you. Okay, and have you looked at an alternative that simply did not have the deck encroaching into the required rear yard?
That has been what has been on the table with Mr. Baird. So Mr. Baird didn't want anything that went beyond into the required rear yard, and that's where we were trying to negotiate from. We had proposed this changing out the privacy glass as the last, that we kind of made that last offer, and Mr. Baird, as I understand it, at least before this hearing today, was of the view that anything that went into the rear, back behind the rear yard line was not acceptable to him.
Okay. Thank you. So, if I may ask, for what reason has your client not accepted that alternative that just doesn't have the deck in the required rear yard?
Well, I think that there's a pretty large side yard between the two buildings. There's more than 10 feet distance between the two houses. And so with the cutaway, we felt that the cutaway gave quite a bit of clearance from his home. I mean, it's not a light and air issue, given the distances between the two houses. It's really simply a privacy issue. And, you know, I don't mean to harp on this, but this roof deck, this window that he's concerned about is in the rear yard itself. I mean, the reason why it's there is because that property received a rear yard variance to build that addition to have that room in the first place. So a roof deck generally wouldn't require any variances at all. It's simply the railing of the roof deck that requires a change. And so Dr. Ramonis and Mr. Rubenstein have three children, and they wanted a deck that would have some space for the kids and to just have some outdoor space that would be sufficient for the family. And given that this is on a flat roof deck, I think it's worth seeing this photograph, Mr. Sanchez, because this will show you something. This photograph shows you the relationship of the two houses. So this is the subject property, mm-hmm. and this is Mr. Baird's home. So you can see that it's almost it's not quite a full story higher, but it is a taller building, so he's almost a story above us. And as you can see, he's completely in the rear yard here because of the variance they had received. And so, I mean, quite frankly, the equities of it, in my view, the code doesn't protect private views. This is a view from a not. It's compliant because it received a rear yard, but it is in the rear yard. And so, to me, the equities of this situation, comparing a family that wants to have some space on a flat roof for the family to it seems like a very modest request. He'll be looking straight over this roof deck, and I think it's really just a question of whether or not he wants to see any activity outside of there from his home. And, I thought that this was a reasonable. We've tried to accommodate his expressed concerns about privacy by offering to pay to change out his glass. And so we thought that this was a reasonable middle ground given the distance between this portion and his home.
Thank you. We'll move on to public comment, if there is any public comment on this item, number 10 for 3880 Jackson Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Craig Nikitas here on behalf of Blake and Anna Carolina Baird of 3878 Jackson. We are here in opposition to granting a part of this variance. We're perfectly happy to see the non-complying portion of the rear building that was taken down rebuilt. The issue, as Ms. Murphy pointed out, is largely with the size, extent, and location of the very large roof deck that's proposed. Ms. Murphy did mention that private views are not protected, and while that's generally true with code-complying projects, when one is building on a non-complying structure, I think there should be heightened sensitivity and a reasonable accommodation for the impacts on privacy. Now, this last offer of the privacy glass was turned down not only because it would be somewhat discomforting to have people walking around outside your bedroom that you could see and trusting that they couldn't see in, especially at night when the interior would be lighted and the exterior of the deck may be dark. But there's also another concern that neither that glass nor a privacy hedge nor a wooden screen wall, which itself would require a variance for being above the railing minimum height, and that is acoustical privacy and impacts of activities on the deck opposite the Baird's bedroom. You saw the relationship in elevation between the existing roof. People on the deck would not only have sight lines there, but there would be a very strong acoustic connection between the interior of the Baird house and the deck. Another thing I'd like to point out is that when the interpretations were written, the ones modifying Section 188 and allowing roof decks on flat roofs in rear yards, the code required height for a railing then was 36 inches. It's now 42 inches, and the variance is requesting a 50-inch railing, a foot and a half taller than the railing height that was originally envisioned when those interps were written. I have a graphic here that I'd like to show you that shows not only in blue dots, the written letters we were aware of in support of the project, but also the orange and yellow ones that are much more proximal to the site. And these are the people who would most be affected by a large roof deck with a lot of activity and impact on it. In fact, two of those neighbors sent you emails requesting that should the deck be allowed, conditions of approval would be imposed to restrict the hours of use. Our request is much more simple. All we want is that after the reconstruction of the non-complying structure, please restrict the occupied roof area for the deck to the buildable area of the property. This would provide a deck of about 590 square feet of occupied roof area, and we hope that you will prohibit the construction of the deck in the rear yard due to the unreasonable impacts on privacy, value, and enjoyment of the neighbors' properties. Thank you.
Thank you. So just a question, maybe confirmation. The your client's property, the window in question, is their bedroom window?
That's correct. There's a bay that has three windows in it. We were hoping to keep the deck away from at least two of those windows.
And how would the what privacy glass was proposed? A frosted glass or another?
I'm not sure of a specific brand or even how efficacious it would be. We didn't have time before this hearing to investigate it, but again, that only solves the visual aspect of the privacy intrusion, not the acoustical side.
And the distance that I have on the plans here between that bay window on your client's property and the roof deck, it's dimensioned out at a little bit less than 11 feet, but that doesn't include the about 2 foot or so planters that they have. So it's, you know, going to be 13 or so feet away. And they had proposed to kind of notch it out and set it back further. And that doesn't address your client's concerns?
No, it doesn't, again, because of the acoustical issues, and there still might be sight lines. There's no guarantee that plants will be maintained or be maintained densely enough to provide the visual screen. We just feel that building this deck in the buildable area provides adequate open space in addition to the very generous side yard that they're also improving as part of this project. To us, there's no reason to provide usable open space on the roof deck in the rear yard.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item number 10 for 3880 Jackson Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Brooks Walker, Mr. Scott Sanchez. I'm a neighbor. I live at 15 Arguello. I'm also a practicing architect, having practiced architecture in San Francisco for over 30 years. As a neighbor, I was asked to look at Krista and Gordon's plans back in December, and I reviewed the plans. I'm very familiar with the whole variance procedure and the hardship cases, and it looked to me, not to add to Mary's comments, but it looked to me like a pretty rock-solid case for granting the variance. All the houses on that block encroach into the rear yard, or almost all of them do. The block is exceptionally shallow in depth, and all these buildings, in order to have a usable, functional building footprint, would need to encroach on that. So after having reviewed that, I lend my full support to Gordon and Krista's proposal. Our master bedroom, we live on Arguello, and our master bedroom is on our top floor, and we will be able to see their roof deck, and they'll be able to peer into our master bedroom. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't think kids are going to be playing up there at night, so we're frankly not that concerned about it. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm new to this process, but I am the co-owner of 3868 and 3870 Jackson. It's two doors down. We've been in the footprint of the rear yard for 45 years, and I don't see any issue. I agree that most of the houses do go into the rear yard. But the roof deck is actually quite new. We have a roof deck, which is really, really rare. It's tiny and protected and covered by an attic area. So it's, and we were not part of the process of 78 next door to us. My parents owned the property at that time and didn't get included in the hearing process. And that house gained in size and scale considerably, And I felt that it was really important for me to represent that this there is this will increase the height of that building by at least 4 feet. The view is a huge part of why people live in that neighborhood. And the golf course and the Presidio is a huge part of that. We all use the Presidio as the backyard. And as you walk into that very protected area, seeing a roof deck is going to entirely change the view of the Presidio coming from all the users of that national park. So I just think this doesn't really have to do with just neighbors to the east and west, but really the look of the national park coming from the Arguello side. So as I say, my tenant asked that I come and felt that it was important to come as a representative of the Hobbs Trust that owns the house. They also felt it was important for me to be here to represent that condition. We've been very understanding for the 45, 50 years that we've owned the property, and we've never changed our footprint or done anything to the house.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Victoria Reiser. We live on 2 Spruce Street, which is right on the wall in Spruce Street. We've known the Ramonas family for over 12 years, and they're the most thoughtful, kind, and very helpful family. We would hope that you support this variance because we feel it's their property right, and it's just a regular right that, you know, we have and many other neighbors have. So we hope you support it.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi, my name is Oz Erickson. I'm a principal at Emerald Fund, a local real estate development firm. I am here because my partner, Alistair McTaggart, asked me as a personal favor to look professionally at the variance application submitted by Dr. Ramonas and her husband, Gordon Rubenstein, for their house at 3880 Jackson and tell him what I thought of this position. I read the application and related correspondence carefully, and last Friday I visited the house. Based on what I saw and read, I so strongly disagree with the opposition to this variance by the owners of the neighboring 3878 Jackson that I decided to personally appear and testify in favor of the variance. As all involved know, there had been an existing two-story portion of the original 3880 Jackson house that always extended into the rear yard. The owners intended to reuse this structure as part of their remodeled house and to put a usable deck on top of it. During construction, their contractor discovered dry rot in a portion of the existing structure. He removed that dry rot without obtaining a demolition permit as he was supposed to and replaced it with new wood. I carefully examined the new structure, the remaining original portion of the ceiling under the proposed deck, the original exterior plaster line along the foundations, etc., etc. I am 100% satisfied that the new structure duplicates the footprint and the height of the old structure. If the contractor had applied for a permit when he encountered the dry rot, he would have received one in 10 days or so, and this hearing would probably not be being contested. In 40 years of working in San Francisco, having built or remodeled some 3,000 units, I have never heard of the Department of Building Inspection refusing to issue a permit to remove dry rot and replace it with new construction. The contractor made a simple error. The owners of 3878 Jackson's, themselves the beneficiaries of a rear yard variance, pounced on that small error and have made a determined effort to deprive their neighbor of a long-term existing property right affecting one-third of their home. That absent a misguided but well-intentioned repair effort would never have been in jeopardy. Their action is not right, it is not fair, and I would strongly urge you, Mr. Sanchez, to grant this variance. Granting the variance properly restores an existing property right that has been part of 388 Jackson since the original structure was built in 1923. Not granting it allows the owners of 3887 Jackson, whose bedroom sits in a structure authorized by their own rear yard variance, to exert the most pernicious form of NIMBYism. Thank you very much.
Hello, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Alistair McTaggart. I've been a developer in San Francisco for 20 years, along with my partner, Oz Erickson. I've developed thousands of units here in the city. I was a volunteer on the CPMC board for over a decade while we entitled two hospitals, and I know Dr. Ramonas personally and professionally. After this job was stopped in December, she and her husband, Gordon Rubenstein, asked for my assistance, and based on what I learned, I decided to come here and testify today. Oz covered the dry rot issue. I would like to reemphasize the efforts Dr. Ramonas and Mr. Rubenstein have made to compromise with their neighbor. When their neighbor objected to the proposed roof deck on the grounds that it would diminish the privacy he enjoys in his bedroom, the project sponsors offered to cut the front half of their deck in half and to allow their neighbor to landscape a green wall to his satisfaction and to his design specifications, but at their cost. I've seen the offer. And here, what they were talking about is putting a green wall here, making this all green. To his satisfaction, he was allowed to spec the plants, he could spec the trees. Green walls work. We've used them many times, and they can give total privacy. You can put up a wall of trees there. But upon receipt of that proposal, the neighbor again refused to compromise, and his consultant said in writing that he hoped that sponsors would see the benefit of keeping the roof deck out of the rear yard. Now, as a real estate professional, he's obviously aware, because he is a real estate professional, he's obviously aware that views aren't protected in San Francisco. However, by rejecting the privacy option, it's clear to me that his real motive is to preserve his views. Now, this is an unfortunate story. The project sponsors, neither of them real estate professionals, relied on what they thought was the best team available to build a house for their family. Yes, their contractor made a mistake by not obtaining a demolition permit for the dry rot before it was removed. But the work has now been stopped for 3 months. This family will now not be in their home before the new school year starts. And they have been well punished for their mistake, both in terms of the delay and in terms of the tens of thousands of dollars they've now had to spend contesting this and fighting for their home. So, Mr. Sanchez, in closing, I would urge you to grant this variance. Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Thank you very much for your time as a recently former long-term public servant here in the city of San Francisco, specifically for the United States Department of Justice. I very much appreciate the process and you taking into consideration these views. I have known Gordon Rubenstein for 25 years. I have known his wife, Krista Ramonas, for about half of that time. I completely agree. I'm not a real estate expert in the least, but I completely agree with the comments that immediately preceded mine, and as seeing some of these drawings here, they're looking to renovate their home in the same envelope it exists, three floors where many appear to be in the area to be four floors, and all the concessions they have proposed that have been rejected as they try to build their home for their family. And I do feel response to the acoustical privacy, which is a phrase I hadn't heard before today, assuming that means noise. It seems to me that the same issue would be apparent if they merely opened their windows. And this is not a family who anyone is going to complain about the noise from their home, whether it's on a deck or through windows. This is a family that I guarantee even the one proponent, once they live in this house for any period of time, if he makes any effort, he will be so happy that they moved in and that he got along with them over time, because this is a family that will add to the community in immeasurable ways, as evidenced by the many, many people here who support them. So thank you very much for your time. I hope you see to granting the variance this wonderful family is seeking.
Mr. Sanchez, my name is Erin Niehaus. I live in the neighborhood. My husband and I have known the Rubenstein family for 15 years. I am here in support of the variance. We have four children that live in the neighborhood, and I am here to help, to help get more children in our neighborhood. It's hard enough to have children in the city and to find housing and to be able to find a house that you can live in, and you have to live with your neighbors. And I know that they are a family that is part of the community and are very willing to work with their neighbors and will be great neighbors when they're able to move in. So I'm here to support them in their variance.
Good morning. I am Paula Martin,
and I'm the clinic manager for the San Francisco Free Clinic. And this is a clinic where we see the uninsured population in San Francisco and the Bay Area. Krista came to us 8 years ago and asked to volunteer to see our uninsured patients. She's been doing that ever since. Our patients love her dearly, as well as the staff. A couple years ago, she created a program in the clinic and fundraised to help us buy equipment to screen all of our patients and, if necessary, provide eyeglasses free of charge. I know Krista and her family. I know her three children. They're great people. They do good in the community. And they're always giving back. They attend the clinic events and the yearly fundraiser. And we, on behalf of the San Francisco Free Clinic, we fully support granting this variance.
Thank you. Mr. Sanchez, my name is Lawrence Pelosi, and I understand I'm the last speaker. So I grew up in this neighborhood. I spent about half my childhood about a block away from here. My cousins lived across the street. Ironically, I thought back, and four of my closest friends growing up actually lived on their block. And fast forward 40 years, I've got four or five friends that live there as well. So I feel like I know these people, I know these families, I know these neighborhoods, I know this block. And I know how important it is to them that when things like this are done, when anything's changed in a city in San Francisco, especially in an area like this, how much attention to detail people pay and how important it is to them that whatever they do is in the context of their surrounding neighborhood and is acceptable to their surrounding neighbors. And I look at the support that they've got, and I look at the people that have come out. The fact that 20 of their immediate neighbors have written in support of this, to me, means a great deal. I mean, in San Francisco, it's very hard to get people to support much of anything. And the ability to get 20 of your neighbors to basically agree to what is clearly precedent, from what I can tell, I think says a lot. So I think what they've done, the process they've gone through, is to be commended. And I hope you support this variance. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Sanchez, Larry Badner, Badner Urban Planning, representing the project sponsor. We're going to cut the public comment short. We just ask that people in support of the project stand up. We want to recognize that your time is valuable.
Thank you. And duly noted, thank you. I would note that pretty much everyone in the room stood up in support of the project sponsor. We would move on to rebuttal, but before we do go to rebuttal, I have a question for Mr. Nikitas, if he's still in the room. Do you have any photos from the window of your client that would help me understand the impacts?
I don't have any with me. Let me check with the owner.
Okay.
Yeah. With you?
If they could be put on the overhead, that would be helpful so I could see what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I didn't bring any.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, then we'll move on to the project sponsor rebuttal.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Sorry?
3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you again, Mr. Sanchez, Mary Murphy, Gibson, Dunn, and Carter. I'll be brief in the interest of time. As you've heard, we've tried to work out something with the neighbor. Mr. Nikitas has referred to acoustical privacy. I would submit to you that the size of this roof deck is no larger than any rear yard if extraordinary circumstances and the configuration of the lot were not such as it is. There would be a rear yard, and it would be at least the size of this roof deck. And the noise from that rear yard would be the same sort of noise that people would have from a roof deck. As someone who lives in this neighborhood, I'm not just the project sponsor's counsel, but I also am a neighbor. I live three blocks away, and it is a city, and people do have adjacencies in city environments. My own neighbors happen to have a roof deck right outside of my own bedroom window. That's just sort of the circumstance of living in a city. And I think that what I do personally is I close my blinds. But I will say that in this particular instance, we have tried to work with the neighbor, and I believe the distance, the side yard setback between the two homes, really is significant for this sort of neighborhood. There's more than 10 feet, as we've discussed, which is why we proposed to cut away the roof deck to provide an even further distance from the part that would be behind the rear yard line. So it would basically cut away at the rear yard line. And then, as we've heard today, we have also proposed to work with the neighbor to try to do a privacy screening and to work with them what they wanted that to look like. So we're still open
into, and they didn't like that. We proposed the changing out of the glass. You know, the specs of the glass are something we could work on with them. We've offered to pay for that from our own side. So we've tried very much to accommodate their concerns, and I would respectfully submit that in a city, people tend to live in relatively close quarters. This is actually a much more generous side yard than you find in most settings in the city. And as someone who has personally raised children in the city myself, I would submit to you that having some space where you can go outdoors with your children in the city that is contained and is safe is something that is really necessary for families here in the city. We always talk in the city about keeping families here. This is a family that contributes back to the community, that simply wants to raise their children near the schools they go to. And I would respectfully submit, I think we've made very reasonable compromises. We still hope we could reach an agreement with the neighbors. We do want to do this in a sense of neighborly resolution and hope that it'll be amicable. But at the moment, I would respectfully request that you grant these variances because I think the situation merits them, and I believe that it would be appropriate to grant them in this circumstance. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you. I'd like to better understand the timing here. So it sounds like the project sponsor developed their plans, explained this to what was the previous owner of the adjacent property. Property changed hands. Mm-hmm. The new owner is now involved. At what point was the roof deck part of the project? Has it always been part of the project?
From the beginning.
Okay. And then there have been several permits to date, but have any of the issued permits had the roof deck, or is that something that would be on a subsequent permit? So that's I'm hearing from your architect behind you that it sounds like that's not on the current plans, but will be on the future set of plans. And I understand that you had, and to clarify one point that was raised by a member of the public previously, in terms of the extent of work and when a variance was required, the variance was required because the non-complying structure was reconstructed. Even if it was dry rot, a variance would still be required. We have other variances even on calendar for today that seeking reconstruction of something that was existing. A variance is required for that, regardless of the state of that. In addition, you actually already had a variance on file because you were seeking to expand the building and infill that light well. So was it part of that application?
No, that application was filed very early, knowing that it would take some time to matriculate through the system. And when we filed that, we did not know if the project budget would allow for the roof deck. So the roof deck was presented to the neighbors thinking that it was on the wish list, but we had not gotten it permitted, knowing that it was an over-the-counter type permit. We understood that the rear portion of it on the non-conforming structure would require a 10-day notice, but none of that would take as long, nor would the construction sequence of the roof deck kind of tie into or prohibit the completion of the project. So we were kind of waiting to figure out if there was enough money to fund it, frankly. But it had been part of the original schematic, and so it was presented to the neighbors from the beginning.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And Ms. Murphy, you said, now, there, it sounds like there's at least one other roof deck on this block face. But do you know of any others that encroach, or two others?
Sorry. There are two others that we know of, and it sounds like the other woman who spoke is the third.
Okay.
So the other two are 1 Cherry Street at Jackson. We've been on that deck. And 3844, which faces the front,
Thank you.
The rear.
And do you know if any of those other decks encroach kind of as close to the rear property line as yours does?
1 Cherry, I have photos on my phone, but I can't display them
That's
here.
Right.
But 1 Cherry, it encroaches and is directly facing the Presidio,
Thank you.
Rear of the house.
And I understand that there were at least two alternatives that were put up on the overhead that you've proposed to the adjacent property owner, neither of which have been accepted. Do you have a preferred alternative between those two?
The notch.
The notch is
yes.
The preferred alternative.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and I didn't see that in our materials. I apologize if I missed that. Have you submitted that to the department, the proposed alternatives?
No.
Okay.
In terms of the roof deck alternatives, we have not. We've been trying to work that out, and we, quite frankly, I mean, perhaps we should have submitted them, but I didn't see them as pertinent to the variances, actually. I mean, they're not really the subject of the variance, but if you'd like, we'd be happy to forward those.
I would like to see that. I mean, I think they are very much part of the variance. They are on top of the portion of the building that's requiring the variance. They at least in and of themselves require the 10-day notice per zoning administrator interpretation. So I would consider them part. And also looking at the variance, you know, we do need to meet all 5 findings. One of those findings is looking at the impacts on the adjacent property owner. Mm-hmm. So I do see the deck and its potential impacts is very much relevant to these proceedings. So would very much like to see those. So with that, I think we'll close the public hearing. would take the matter under advisement. I see no issue with the variance allowing for the reconstruction of the previously existing legal non-complying portion of the building. With the roof deck, it is a substantial roof deck, and I think it would be a roof deck that I'm sure you will enjoy very much. I would like to see what can be done to potentially reduce the impacts on the adjacent neighbor. That's why I would like to more carefully study the alternatives that you have proposed and see if one of those may justify adopting as a condition of approval.
And Mr. Sanchez, we are happy to continue to work. We've been trying to work with Mr. Nikitas and through him with Mr. Baird, so we're happy to continue to that discussion. We welcome the continuance of the discussion to try to satisfy their concerns. We're very much open to that, and we've been trying to do that in the various iterations of the compromises we've proposed. So that's fine.
Thank you.
We will do that.
Thank you. And I would note, in terms of one of the things I was raised about the acoustical privacy, I guess even in the neighbor's proposed alternative, portions of the roof deck would be closer to their windows, and I guess I'm not seeing how the acoustical issues are totally relevant here, but would still encourage them to continue discussions and see if there's some other alternative beyond what you've proposed already that would satisfy everyone's concerns and allow you the usable open space.
Great. Thank you.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2015-003106 VAR, 1120 to 1122 Church Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Dan Paris. I'm the architect for the owner. Seeking a variance to permit the replacement stair and deck within the required rear yard at 1120 Church Street. It's an existing three-unit building, originally developed with two structures on site, a front two-unit building and a rear single unit on the alley. So open space or rear yard is provided at the mid parcel area. As you can see, the unit to the south has the same sort of configuration where the unit to the north was developed without that mid parcel open space. The original stair and deck existed within this required rear yard. The replacement, there's no other way to configure it to get direct access to the rear yard from the front upper and lower units. So it's that's the hardship, is there's just no way to get to the yard without putting a stair and a deck there. The new stair is a spiral, so it does take up less space than the original stair, and it's safer. The older ones were dilapidated and in pretty bad shape. There's been no opposition. In fact, there have been supportive neighbors, and that's pretty much it.
Thank you. And I believe the 311 neighborhood notification expires tomorrow.
Yes.
We have any issues that have come up in regards to that. And it is against an adjacent blind wall, correct?
Yeah, it's a much taller building. It's a 40-foot building there.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So if there's any public comment on item number 11 for 1120 to 22 Church Street. Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to item number 12.
Item number 12 is case number 2015-002953 VAR, 409 29th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have also 5 minutes.
Hi, Mr. Sanchez.
I'm Ryan Nock, the project architect and sponsor. I'll just go ahead and present our case here briefly. This would be the existing site plan I have shown. As you can see, there's a large front yard. It's approximately 14 foot 7 feet. And what we're asking for is to only use a portion of this additional area and extend past the rear yard requirement by approximately 1 foot 9 inches. Back up to 25% mark. The majority of the mass, or actually all the mass, is being placed up against the adjacent building, which is a blind wall along 407 29th Street. We've worked in depth with the staff planner on this project to make sure we've addressed all the residential design guideline issues. We've set back along the whole west property line at 419th 27th 5 feet. And so we're asking just for a little bit of an encroachment. A lot of it is a deck. Into the required rear yard, but not the last 25%, and then also a portion of an infill that we would usually be required against the blank wall of 5 feet for our allowed encroachment per section 136 of 12 feet and two stories. However, in this case, we're facing a blind wall. It doesn't really have any additional impact to the neighboring properties. And you can see in the plan attached, it's the hatched area
right here.
Right along there is the area we're asking for the variance for this property. Let's see if we can turn this around. This is just an additional aerial view for reference to show you the existing conditions of the surrounding properties. You can see right along there is the wall we're building up against. As far as we know, there's only been one public comment against the variance from a neighbor across the street who seems to be just concerned mostly about the last portion of the setback and not necessarily any other portion of the variance or the project itself. And this is just a proposed elevation showing the relationships of the massing between the adjacent properties and our proposal. And that's all I have to say to make our case at the moment. Adam, would you like to come up and say a couple words? This is just the building owner, Adam.
Hi, my name is Adam Winston. I moved into the property just over a year ago with my wife and two small boys. We've been working with Ryan to come up with a revised floor plan that would sort of better accommodate our family, both the current size as well as potential expansion in the future. Like many longstanding properties, the rooms are sort of carved up into small pieces, and we're looking to create a bit more of an open family space. We're also very cognizant about the outdoor space. We moved into this neighborhood explicitly to find an outdoor space for our two boys to play, and so we're looking to sort of encroach into that area just enough to create a comfortable family space while also maintaining as much outdoor space as possible. And so it's for that reason that the request is so small, but looking at the designs and the implications of that, that will make a considerable difference in terms of the comfort of the overall interior space, while also having a fairly small effect on the on the available outdoor space in the back.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 12 for 409 29th Street. Any public comment? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, also noting that 311 neighborhood notification expires tomorrow. And we can move on to the next
item. Moving to the last item number 13, case number 2015-010777 VAR, 60 27th Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I am Steve Shogan with Lawson Willard Architecture, project sponsors for Matt and Evie Davis, owners of 60 27th Avenue. It is a single-family dwelling located in the Seacliff neighborhood. The existing garage is actually quite small and provides only minimal space for vehicles utilized by a growing family in San Francisco. It's only large enough for storage, and cars must be parked in the existing driveway, which is considerably long. It's about 50 feet from the rear property line to the existing house. We're asking for a variance to section 134A1 to the planning code, which was allowed for the extension of the proposed garage and deck towards the rear yard property line. The Davises wish to remain residents of the city while also improving their current living conditions. The addition complies with the existing fabric of the neighborhood, as a majority of the buildings in the block abutting the easement way contain similar garage extensions. The addition would also decrease the area of impervious concrete on site, and there will be no change to the existing building height. The addition will also not be visible from the public right-of-way from the front of the street. The abnormal lot shape, as well as the irregularly shaped neighboring lots, contribute to the unique characteristics of the Seacliff neighborhood. The proposed project creates a more suitable environment despite the encroachment into the required rear yard. As I mentioned, several other properties adjacent to the rear automobile easement have demonstrated extending the garage adapts the abnormal lot shape while also creating usable space above it with the creation of a deck. Let's see. This is the proposed site plan. There's also side yard landscaping, which would improve the quality of the property and contributes to the reduction of impervious surfaces. And in order for these spaces to be created, the existing conditions need to be improved. We've been working with Wayne Ferens of the Planning Department for the past 3 or 4 months. There has been no public objection. We had one comment from a neighbor who abuts the easement driveway. On this side of the property at Seacliff Street. I believe that's Mr. Dennis Berkheimer. We've reached out to him in the past 10 days, but I think he was just more curious about receiving the plans for review. So is Dennis here? He's not here. So we asked that you grant us the variance for this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this. The last item, number 13, for 60 27th Avenue. Any public comment? Seeing none, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the irregular lot shape, the kind of topographic differences in the lot, which are going to be somewhat rectified by this garage in the rear yard, providing more usable open space in the form of the roof deck.
Okay, thank you.
And there's a general public comment for anyone who would like to speak on items that are not on the calendar, seeing there's no general public comment. This hearing is closed. We will reconvene on April 27, 2016. Thank you.